All right, to both say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Sadik Dalet 94. We actually have a lot to do today. We are picking up at Sadik Gimel Beis 93B, and we're picking up at the Bar Ada Sabula, which is about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24 lines up from the bottom. A lot to do today. So it says the Gemara, Bar Ada Sabula Havikama Aver Chiyusa Agamlo Dinarish. So Bar Ada Sabula, that's his name, was crossing animals across the bridge, literally of the river Narash. Dachba Chadla Chaverta, Vishadise Bemaya. So one animal pushed the other, and the pushed animal fell into the water and drowned. Also coming to Rapapa. So again, the shepherd came before Rapapa to figure out what is his level of liability. So Chayve. And Rapapa said that he was Chayif. Amarlei, my Havi Lilami Abit. So to which the shepherd said, but what should I have done? In other words, I was crossing the animals. What should I have done? Amarlei, Ibai Lacha La'aduri Chada Chada. You should have crossed the animals one at a time. In other words, the reason that one animal was able to push the other was because they were walking in pairs. You should have crossed the animals one animal at a time. Amarlei, Yadata Bebar Achse, Dematzi Lilami Abit Chada Chada. To which the shepherd responds, tell me, do you know anyone amongst Klal Yisrael who would go ahead and cross sheep like that? Many people have made this claim, as many people have yelled at me, and I haven't listened to them. I'm not going to start listening to you either. Alright, Ivu Ifkid Kisna Beirunya. So Ivu went ahead and deposited some flax with Runya. Ozel Shabu Shamtumine. Shabu, who was a thief, came and stole it from Runya. The Sof Hokar Aganov. But then they discovered who the thief was. They discovered that it was Shabu who went ahead and stole the money, or stole the flax. Aslakamid Rav Nachman. So the Shomer came before Rav Nachman. And Chayve. Rav Nachman said that the Shomer is Chayiv. Lema pliga de Rafuna Bar Avin. So say that this argues on Rafuna Bar Avin. What is Rafuna Bar Avin? The Shach Rafuna Bar Avin, Nignava Ba'ones, Ba'achaka Chokra Aganov. An interesting case. If let's say an object was stolen, and then afterwards the thief was identified, Im Shomer Chinam Hu, say if the Shomer is a Shomer Chinam, Ratza Nishpa Ratza Osimodin, he could swear that the item was stolen and absolve himself from responsibility. Or he can go ahead and pay the owner of the object and recapture the loss from the ganav im shomer socher hu. But if he is a paid custodian, then im shomer socher hu ose imo din abose first of the wide lines on the bottom of tzaddik gimel amud beis im shomer socher hu ose imo din ve'inon mishpa. But im shomer socher abose has to pay back the owner, and then ultimately again takes up the case with the ganav. So again, I will say in this case, the Shomer is a Shomer Chinam. If that's the case, then at the end of the day, he should be able to take a Shavua and absolve himself from responsibility. Amarava, what's the case? Hasam Gavre de Parmuska Havakaimi. There were, when the object was stolen, there were policemen in the vicinity. The Rama Kala Havu Asu Umatslinan Lei. That had the Shomer raised his voice and cried out in distress, there would have been people there to help him. Meaning, so the fact that he did not cry out in distress is in and of itself a partial negligence on his part. Says the Mishnah, Ze'ev Echad Eino Ones, Shnei Ze'evim Ones. So the Mishnah says the following, one wolf, in other words, if one wolf attacks a flock and ultimately kills a sheep, this is not considered Ones. This is not considered to be an extenuating circumstance. Meaning the Shomer should have been able to deal with that situation. Shnei Ze'evim Ones. But two wolves, if they attack, then that is considered an onis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bishas Mishlachas Ze'evim, Af Ze'ev Echad Onis. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that if there's an outbreak of wolves, right, if there's a wolf outbreak, then Einachinami, even one wolf could be an onis. He goes on, Halistim Hareza Onis. So we'll say armed robbers, it's considered to be an onis. Ha'ari, Hadov, Hanamar, Vahabardlas, Vahanachosh. Similarly, again, if somebody is watching, let's just keep it easy with livestock. Someone is watching livestock and the livestock is attacked by a lion, a bear, a leopard. Bardlas literally is a polecat, Nachosh, a snake. Hare Elu Onis. All of these are examples of Onsen. Emasai, Bizman Shabo Meleim. When is this so? This is when these animals came on their own. Avaholichan Lamokum Gidude Chayev Alistim. But if the Shomer took the animals to places where these other dangerous animals are found, Eino Onis. And I will say this is no longer, meaning if you willingly took the sheep into that situation, then you cannot claim Onis afterwards. Mesa Kedarka Reza Onis. If the animal dies of natural causes, this is Onis. Sakpa Omesa, if you afflicted the animal and the animal died, Eino Onis, that's not Onis. Al Rashetsukin Venafla Reza Onis. If the animal went of its own volition to the top of a mountain, Rashi points out to Vakir, the animal overpowered the shepherd. The animal went of its own volition up to the top of the mountain, fell off and died, that's Onis. Hello, the Rashi Tzukin. But if either shepherd took the animal to the top of a mountain, the Nafla Umesa, and then the animal falls and dies, Eino Onis. Then ultimately, again, this will not be an extenuating circumstance. Fine. So says the Gemara Vahatanya, but we learn, Ze'ev Echad Ones. So let's remember the Mishnah said, one wolf, a lone wolf attack, right? A lone wolf attack is not going to be an Ones. But yet we have a Braisa that says that it is. Amran Chara Yitzchak, Hahi B'shas Mishlach HaZev, Rabbi Yehudi. That Braisa is talking about a situation where there is an outbreak of wolves, and it reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Halistim Hareza Ones. So armed grabbers is Ones. Amai Loki Gavra Lahadi Gavra. Why don't we see, would the shepherd have been capable of taking on the armed robber? In other words, literally put one man against the other. See if the shepherd would have been capable of taking the armed robber. Amirav, Belistim Mizuyin. To which Rav responded to our armed robbers. So let's listen to this. Ibailahu, Listim Mizuyin, Veroa Mizuyan Mahu. What happens if the robbers are armed, but the shepherd is armed as well? What's the halacha? So do we say, well, we have to assess the situation. We look at the strength of the shepherd, we look at the strength of the sheep, and we ask ourselves, would the shepherd have been able to stand up to this threat? We'll say, listen to this. O Dilma, hai masr nafshe, v'hai lo masr nafshe. We'll say, do we say the following? You know, there's something to be learned from a ganav. What can you learn from a ganav? Mesiras nefesh, right? A ganav is often willing to give anything, right, including his own life, in order to be able to secure the possibility of a payout. The shepherd, on the other hand, with the shepherd, at a certain point, he says to himself, what? This is a job. This is a job. I love it, right? The people are very nice. The sheep are very special, right? My employer is very kind to me. But this is a job, and I'm not going to go ahead and risk my life for it. To which the Gemara says, it's a very, very incredible yisod mistabra, tahai masr nafshe, velohai masr nafshe. To which the Gemara says, v'hai lo masr nafshe. So it turns out that it appears a ganav is willing to be moser nefesh for his profession. A ganav is willing to do anything and everything he needs to do. And by the way, that's kill or be killed. That's why, by the way, so that's why the halacha is habama machtaras. That if somebody goes ahead and tries to steal from you in the middle of the night, that the Torah gives the victim the license to kill the perpetrator. Why? Because the assumption is that a ganav is coming to kill or be killed, meaning he's ready to do whatever it takes in order to go ahead and steal this object. On the other hand, the shepherd, as dedicated as he may be to the flock, at the end of the day, it's a job, and he's not going to give his life. Amar le Abaye Rava, Ashkechei Roa, listen to this. So it's Ashkechei Rava, Amar le Gan Vasaria. So listen to this. We'll say to the Abaye says to Rava, what about the following case? About a shepherd who runs into a ganav, and he calls him Gan Vasaria. Gan Vasaria also means like literally dirty thief. You low life. Biduchta Planyas, and you know, we have a whole encampment of shepherds with flocks in a particular place, top of Tzadik Dalet, 94A. Kach v'kach gavri ika v'hadan. There are so and so number of men with us. Kach v'kach kalbi ika v'hadan. There are so many dogs with us. Kach v'kach zuksa, right? Psikalan. We have a certain number of men who have slingshots. So what does he do? So the shepherd is taunting the ganav. Say, you think you're such a kind of, you think you're such a big shot, you're a low life, right? Here we are, we have all these sheep and all these flocks, and we have so many, and we have this number of men, this number of dogs, this number of security guards. He gives him essentially all the information about their encampment, and then what happens? V'azol b'shakal mineh. The ganav shows up and steals sheep. So my, what's the halacha of us? In other words, do we claim that that is an ones or not? To which the Gemara says, Amrele hare holchin mimakom hare holchin hare holichon lemakom gidu de chaye ulistim. To which the Gemara responds, to which Rava says back to Abaye, this would be the equivalent of taking your flock into a dangerous area. In other words, the case of ones is when you do not invite the circumstances upon yourself. But just like if you were to purposely walk into a place, you were to take your sheep to graze in a place that you know is plagued by thieves, and one of the sheep were to be stolen, you can claim ones. So too, again, if you invite these circumstances upon yourself by going ahead and what? By divulging all of this information to the ganav, and then the object is stolen, you will be chayav for that as well. Says the Mishnah, Masna shomer chinam lihios pater mishvua, v'shoal lihios pater milashalim. No, say schar v'asorcha lihios pater mishvua milashalim. Well, so listen to this. So the first part of the Mishnah seems to say that if I want to set up an arrangement with someone, I could make it a conditional. In other words, I'm a shomer chinam. I am an unpaid custodian. So what happens? What's the halacha normally with an unpaid custodian? If something happens to the object, what do I have to do? I take a shvua that I was not negligent. And once I take that shvua, I'm what? I'm freed from all responsibility. So what if I go ahead and I make a condition? I say, Reuven, you want me to watch your object? That's fine, I'll be a shomer chinam. On the condition that if something happens, I don't have to take a shavua. Or I could just tell you that I'll just give you my word that I didn't do anything to misappropriate the object, and shalom al Yisrael. So if a shomer chinam does that, I will say, or a shoel, or an osei schar, or a socher, so I will say, in all of these cases, so the again, the first part of the Mishnah seems to indicate that if the Shomer makes this type of Tanai at the beginning of the arrangement, it works. Then, interestingly enough, the Mishnah comes along and espouses another concept, that whoever makes a Tanai, whoever makes a Tanai in a way that runs contrary to Torah law, such a Tanai is batal. Furthermore, again, remember, every Tanai has a Tanai and a Maisa. The Tanai is the condition. The Maisa is the action that has to be fulfilled. So the way it's supposed to work in a classic Tanai is that the Tanai itself comes before the Maisa. What if you went ahead and you put the Maisa before the Tanai? So the halach is Tanai batal. The Tanai is batal. And I will say, we'll see what this statement means in the Gemara, but whatever you are able to fulfill in the end, and you made the condition in the beginning, then ultimately the Tanai will be valid. So we'll see what this means. It says the Gemara, Amai, Masna Masha Kasubatoruhu, Bechala Masna Masha Kasubatoruhu, Tanai Batos. Most remember, how did the Mishnah begin? The Mishnah began by saying that that a Shomer has the right to stipulate in a way that frees him from liability in his shmira. So for example, I'm a shomer chinam, I could go ahead and make a condition, I will watch your object, on the condition that if something happens to it, I don't have to take a shavua to free myself from liability. But ask the Gemara, why should that work? At the end of the day, is this not making a condition on something that is written in the Torah? Because we must remember again, Torah says that a shomer chinam has to go ahead and take a shvua. You're making a tanai on something that's written in the Torah. It should be the tanai, it should be batal. To which the Gemara says, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda hidamar bedavar shebamamon tano kayim. Oh, this reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when do we say mas namasha kasabatara tano batal? That's only with non-mamon items. But on monetary law, you can make a tanai even if it runs counter to Torah law, and the tanai itself will remain in effect. Desanya, listen to this. Both of these are paradigmatic cases we've had a number of times. Ha'omer li'isha, hariyat mikudesh asliyamanah she'in lech alai, sherek suzvona. A man says, when becoming kudeshes to me, on the condition that you have no claim against me for food, clothing, and intimacy. So harizu mikudeshes, ultimately again the kiddushin works, utino batal. And the tanai is batal. Because we'll say, why is the tanai batal? Because at the end of the day, remember, you are making a tanai that runs counter to biblical law. Midaraisa, a man is obligated to his wife in these three things. If you try to go ahead and make a tanai that runs counter to your biblical obligation, the action stands and the tanai is batal. On the other hand, dear Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda says, "B'davar sheba mamon tano kaim." Suppose Rabbi Meir would be of the opinion that it's batal perhaps in ono, but it is kaim for share and ksus, which are financial responsibilities. Umi matzis mokmas lak Rabbi Huda, to which the Gemara says, "But can you really establish the Rabbi Huda? After all, ima seifa. Look at the end of the Mishnah. Hamas namashakasu b'torah tano batal." Yet the Braisa said, the end of the Braisa said, which was a really mean, excuse me, not the Braisa of the Mishnah, which is really actually referring to the second case in the Mishnah, that's what? That if a person goes ahead and makes a Tanai on something that is written in the Torah, meaning their Tanai runs contrary to Torah law, to no bottle, that reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, to which the Gemara says, Halo Kasha, the Olam Rabbi Yehudahi, the Seifa B'davar She'in V'She'in O'Shalmam, which the Gemara says, not a Kasha, but rather the second part of the Mishnah is referring to a non-monetary condition. Amos Seifa B'yeh, look at the end of the Mishnah, Kol Tanai She'yish B'Maisa B'Tchilaso, to no bottle, yet the Mishnah said that any Tanai, where the Maisa, the action, comes before the condition, the Tanai is going to be bottle. Man Shamas Leidi Islei Haisvaro, whose opinion is this? Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion. This Sanyo, Abba Chalafta Ish Kfar Chanino, or Chananyo, excuse me, Armush Rabbi Meir, Tanai called him Lamaisa Hare Zet Tanai. If the Tanai, if the condition comes before the action, then this is a valid Tanai. Maisa called him the Tanai. But I will say, if the action comes before the condition, Ino Tanai, Elukul Rabbi Meir. Rather, you have to say that the entire Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. B'shayni hacha, dimi'ikara lo shabid nafshe. So I will say, the Gemara here gives a very interesting answer. So again, just to condense this conversation, the Mishnah essentially begins by saying the following. What we established in the previous Mishnah is that every single type of Shomer has a different level of liability. What happens if I go ahead and when I accept upon myself the Shmirah, I go ahead and I say, I accept the Shmirah, but with limited liability. So for example, as a Shomer Chinam, let's just keep the easiest case, as a Shomer Chinam, so I have limited liability, but in order to free myself from liability, what do I have to do? I have to take a Shavua. So I say, Reuven, you want me to watch your object as a Shomer Chinam? No problem. I will watch your object on the condition that if something happens to the object, I don't have to take a Shavua to free myself from liability. In other words, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my word that I did not do anything wrong, and you're going to accept my word as definitive. To which the Gemara asks, how can you do that? That's Masna Amasha Kasav Batorah. Are you not going ahead and making a Tanai that runs contrary to Torah law? Torah says that a Shomer Chinam has to take a Shavua in order to free himself from liability. So are you not making a condition that runs contrary to Torah law? To which the Gemara essentially says the following. The Gemara gives two possible answers. One possible answer is Rabbi Yehuda, right? That we say Masna Mashkasa Batorah to know Batal except by Davar Sheva Mamon. The other possibility, which seems to be the Gemara's final conclusion, which is much simpler, is we'll say, look, these are contracts. Meaning these are relationships. And at the end of the day, if I say to Reuven, I'm willing to watch your object, but I'm not going to take a shvua if something happens to it, and Reuven agrees with that, we have the right as parties to negotiate the terms of the Shmirah. Meaning, I am saying to Reuven, I am not willing to commit to a Shavua. You can take it or leave it. Meaning, you don't have to agree to this. If you want the Shomer Chinam who's going to take a Shavua, I absolutely understand. I'm not doing that. I have the right to dictate the terms of my involvement, and Reuven has the right to take it or leave it. Tana, umasna Shomer Sachar Lioshiske Shoel. So remember again, the Mishnah also said, or actually the Brice also here says, that a Shomer Sachar could stipulate to be like a shawl, to be like a borrower. B'mai, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, B'mai, how is he making that stipulation? B'dvarim. Both say it just is done through a verbal agreement. Amar Shmuel, b'shakano mi'ado. Shmuel says, no, it has to be done through a Maisei Kinyan. And Yochanan Amar afilu teima b'shakano mi'ado, even without a Maisei Kinyan, ba'hi hana'a d'kanothik le'kala, d'inish mehemnu, gomar u'mishabin nafshe. So both say, so you'll wonder to yourself, why would a Shomer Sachar ever go ahead and want to take on the liability of a Shomer, of a Shoel? Remember, Shoel has the greatest level of liability, right? He's Shoel's Chai for everything. So why would a Shomer Sachar ever want to be like a Shoel? So what's it? Which the Gemara says, because there's a benefit to him. What's the benefit? The benefit is that if word gets out that he's a trustworthy individual, that'll be good for business. But sometimes I could be a Shomer Sachar for business, right? That's my parnasa. So if word gets out that I'm the kind of guy that's willing to take on heightened liability like a Shoel, then that'll be good for business. That has a financial value to me, and because of that, in response to that financial value, I'm willing to go ahead and be meshabed myself for heightened liability. The choshev shalak kaima b'sofo, and we'll say any tanai that can be fulfilled at the end is going to be valid. Amarav tavla, amarav zudiv rabbi hudiv and tema, avacham chum se, afapishi, afshalal the kaima b'sofo, v'histalav mitchila, so, tanai kaim. The chomer b'sofo, on the other hand, say that even a tanai that one cannot fulfill in the beginning, but you made the tanai ultimately, in the end, excuse me, which made the tanai in the beginning, the tanai will be kayim. The tanai will be valid. Now, what's an example of that? Visanyo, listen to this. Hareze giteicha menasha tali lorakia. Man says to his wife, this is your get on the condition that you ascend to the heavens. Now, what's saying? Now, that doesn't mean drop dead, right? You know, that this, right? What that means over here is he's attaching some type of impossible tanai to it. That's the point, right? This is your get on the condition that you ascend to the heavens. Amenas sheterdi l'tahom, right? On the condition that you go to the depths. Okay. Don't, there's nothing colorful in that either. Meaning, the idea over is he's saying this literally. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Amenasha tivli kana shalmei ama, on the condition that you swallow a reed of 100 amos. Amenasha tavri esayama gadol baraglecha, on the condition that you go ahead and you walk on water. So, right, we'll say, so in all of these cases, niskayim hatinai. So niskayim hatinai, hareiz aget. See, if she fulfills the tanai, the get is good. Lo niskayim hatanai, ain't no get. But if she does not fulfill the tanai, the get is not good. To which Rabbi Huda ben Tema says, what are you talking about? Kazeh get. Rabbi Huda says, no. A tanai is only valid, Rabbi say, when it's a possible tanai. When the tanai is clearly impossible, then what we do is, we go ahead and we operate essentially as if the tanai does not exist, and the action itself stands. So in this kind of situation, what we will say is that the get is a good get, and the tanai simply falls off. Klal Amir Hudu Ben Tema. So what's Rabbi Hudu Ben Tema said it's klal. What's the klal? Kol shi efshal l'kaimo b'sofo. This lam b'tchila. So what's any tanai that can't really be fulfilled at the end of the day, even though you included this tanai as part of the negotiations from the beginning, nevertheless, eino ela kemafliga. We'll say, we consider it that simply the person who made the tanai is just shepherding. So for example, in this case, when a man says to his wife, this is your get on the condition that you go up to the heavens, you go down to the depths, you walk on water, whatever it is, we assume that he's just bothering her. He's just trying to make her life difficult. And as such, again, the tanai essentially falls off, and the get will be a valid get. And it's not just by gittin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, you know, it's interesting, you know, that in Pirkei Avos, he's not referred to as Rabbi Yehuda, right? He's just referred to as Yehuda ben Tema, which is interesting. A discussion for a different time. In any event, so says the Gemara, so that whenever you have an impossible tanai, the impossible tanai falls off, and the Maisa stands. Deka, so the Gemara says, Amra Nachma Yitzchak, Masisa Nami Deka, Diktani, our Mishnah supports this view as well, because what does our Mishnah say? Kol she'afshal v'kaimo b'sofo, v'histalav mitchila, so any tanai will say that one could accomplish at the end, right? In the end. And he makes that tanai in the beginning, tanai kayim. Ha'yafshal v'kaimo tanai batal sh'mamina. So we'll say, what do you see from the Mishnah? The Mishnah essentially says, any tanai that at some point in time you will be able to go in and fulfill will be a valid and binding tanai. But any tanai that is impossible to fulfill ultimately, again, does not become binding shmana. And I will say, that is indeed how we paskin halacha l'maisa. If a person attaches an impossible tanai to a particular situation, we view that tanai as totally inconsequential. We assume kimafliga, he's just trying to make the person's life a bit difficult. The tanai falls off, and ultimately the action stands. So I want to say, Mazel Tov, Hadron Allah HaSochar Es HaPolim. Mazel Tov. Now I begin again the next Mishnah. Hashol HaSapara. Hashol HaSapara. So we'll say, a person goes there. Now we're going to speak a little bit about a Shoal, a borrower. Now remember, we'll say, out of all of our Shomrim, the Shoal has the greatest level of liability, because the Shoal is Chayiv in everything. In everything. We're going to see with one interesting exception. So Hashol HaSapara, I go ahead and I borrow a cow. V'sha'o ba'aleha ima. And I borrow its owners along with it. And I will say, what does that mean? So the simplest case over here would be, I borrow a cow to work my field. But I also, I'm borrowing the cow, but I'm also, quote unquote, borrowing the owner. In other words, I'm hiring the owner of the cow to go ahead and work with his animal on my field. V'sha'o ba'aleha, I can either borrow the services of the owner, oh, sachar ba'ala imo, or I borrow the cow and I hire the owner of the cow to work with his animal, right? Or, sha'al ha'baylim, o sachran, Va'aragach shalas apara umesa. So we'll say, and, or then I go, or I hire, or I borrow, literally, I borrowed the owners, or I hired the owners, and then afterwards, I go ahead and I borrow the cow, umesa, and then the cow died, potter. So we'll say, I'm going to be potter. Why? Shine emar, im ba'alov imo lo yishalim. So we'll say, what we're going to see over here is the following. This is called the Ptur of Baal of Imo. Baal of Imo means that if I'm a Shoel, I have responsibility for anything and everything that happens to that animal. But if whatever happens to the animal happens while the owner of the animal is present, then I, the Shoel, am going to be Potter. That's the Lach of Baal of Imo. What the Mishnah Rabbah is framing is the following. That is only true if the owner was brought into the picture, either before the cow, before the animal, bless you, or simultaneously with the cow. Again, we'll define this more in the Gemara, but look at the next case, the Mishnah, Amud Beis. Aval shola sapara, v'achar kach shola sabaylan. But I will say, if I went ahead and I first borrowed the cow, and then only afterwards did I, quote unquote, borrow the owners, or sakran, or rented the owners, umesa, and then the cow dies, chayiv. That ultimately, again, either shall be chayiv, why shine emar, ba'alav enimo shalim yishalim. That if the owners are not with it, you have to pay. In other words, we'll say, what's the distinction between the two cases? In case one, there was either simultaneity, right? Either I rented, or I should say I borrowed the bailim and the par at the same time, there was simultaneity, or the owners were first, and then the par afterwards. So the owner either came on the picture at the same time as the par, or before the par. In case number two, the par came first, owners came second. As the Mishnah is teaching, and we'll see where we are, how we arrive at this halacha, the Ptur of Baal of Imo only applies in case one, where the owners were there either before the par, or simultaneously with the par, but if the par came first and the owners only came afterwards, when something happens to the cow, to the animal, even though the owners are present at that time, the shoel will still be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Mediktani Seifa v'achar kach shola sapara. So from the fact that the Seifa said that the achar kach shola sapara, that the owner was there first, and then afterwards you went ahead and you rented the, or you borrowed the cow, Mechlal Dereisha Diktani Ima Mamish. So we can infer from that the first case is where literally again I borrowed the cow and the owner simultaneously. To which the Gemara says, it's an interesting idea. Ima Mamish. So the Gemara says, Mamish Mimishka. Excuse me. Ima Diktani Ima Mamish. So Ima Mamish Mimishka Chasla. We'll say, is it ever possible to, quote unquote, borrow? Right? Is it possible to borrow the owners and the cow at the same time? After all, para b'meshicha u'baylin ba'amira. But we'll say two different processes. If I'm a shoel, how do I affect the she'ila? I affect the she'ila through meshicha. Right? I pull the cow. Yet, how do I borrow the services of the baylin, Rabbi Osai? B'pashas what? Through speaking. In other words, so says the Gemara, how can you ever have simultaneity in the borrowing of the cow and the owners when the borrowing of those two parties is affected in two different ways? Cow b'meshicha, owners ba'amira, ibay sema, kigon dekaima para b'chatzera de shoel. So it could have been so there was a case of where the cow was already in the chatzer of the shoel, delo mechasra meshicha. So we'll say again, at the moment then that he goes ahead and verbally agrees with the owner, at that moment he could have das for his chatzer to acquire, and therefore there's simultaneity. Okay, ibay sema, do amar lei, at gufach lo tishal at shas meshicha parasach. Or the shoel could say to the owner of the animal, your services will not be acquired by me until the moment that I do meshicha on your cow. In other words, so you can affect simultaneity. Fine. Tanan hasavos, as we learn there, arba shomrim hein, shomr chinam, v'ashoel no se sachar v'asocher. So we'll say, remember again, we learned in the Mishnah about the dalet shomrim. Right, this was yesterday's daf, about the four different types of custodians. So it says, remember again, the Mishnah went through them. The Mishnah said, Shomer Chinam, Nishba Alakol. So Shomer Chinam, ultimately again, if something happens to the animal, he takes a Shvua and frees himself from liability. Vashoel, Meshalim Esakol. And the Shoel has to pay for everything, meaning the Shoel is chayv in everything. No Seishar Vasocher, a paid custodian and a renter, nishbo'in ala shvura va'ala shvuya va'ala mesa. So they swear concerning an animal that broke, literally let's say a limb broke, or was taken captive, or it died. And I will say those are considered to be extenuating circumstances, right? So I'm sorry. So nishman ala shvura v'ala shuya balamisa. So they swear in those cases because those are considered to be onsin. Umishalman es ha'aveda ves ha'gneva. But they pay for gneva and aveda, right? They pay for any animal that is stolen or lost. So minahani miri d'tam rabbanan. So we'll say, so where do we know this from? In other words, from where do we learn about all the liability of the various shomrim? The Tanur Rabbanan, because we'll say we learned Parsha Rishon. Now remember, we'll say the Parsha of Shomrim is all in the Parsha. The Parshios of the Shomrim are in Mishpatim Perek Chaf Beis, Shmos Chaf Beis. You can see if you have the newer Gemaras and you have the Pesukim in the margins, so you can see again, pretty much it begins already from Shmos, it really begins from Chaf Beis Tes, and goes for a number of Pesukim afterwards. So the Gemara says the following, the Tanur Rabbanan, thank you. To which the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Parsha Rishon, thank you, she thank you. Parsha Rishon Lenehemra, Bishomer Chinam, Shnia Bishomer Sachar, Shlishis Bishah. So we'll say, so remember, the Gemara is going to say, and we'll discuss these psukim inside. So we're going to see the first section in Mishpatim talks about a Shomer Chinam. Second section talks about a Shomer Sachar. Third section talks about a Shoel. Bishlama Shlishis Bishah Mefurash. So I understand that the third section talks about a Shoel, because that's quite explicit, because what does the Pasuk say? V'chei Yishal Ishle Imra'ehu, V'nishbar Omeis. Ba'alav einimo shalim mishalim. The pasuk explicitly says, if a person will borrow from his friend and the object breaks or dies and the owner is not there, the shoal, the borrower, has to pay. In the first two sections, as we're going to see, the first two sections in Mishpatim, so it could be either or. We're saying the first section talks about a Shomer Chinam, second section talks about a Shomer Sachar, but in reality, I could reverse those two if I want to. I mean, there's nothing specifically in the Pasuk, in the Pesukim, that seemed to lend itself one to Shomer Chinam, one to Shomer Sachar, to which the Gemara says, Mistabra, Shnir B'Shomer Sachar. It appears to be clear that the second section is talking about Shomer Sachar. Why? Shekein chayiv b'gneva v'aveda. Because we'll say ultimately again, Shomer Sachar will be chayiv b'gneva v'aveda. And that seems to be the inference from the Pesukim. Adirabo, Rishonim b'Shomer Sachar. On the opposite, I can say the following, that ultimately the first section should apply to a Shomer Sachar. Why? Shekein mishalim teshlumi kefel. Between Tanis Kanov. Because we'll say a Shomer Sachar has to go out and pay kefel, even when he claims that the object was stolen. That's if he turns out that he was lying. So we've actually seen this concept before. First wide lines, I think, Talanoma days. It is considered to be stricter liability to always have to pay Karen even without a Shvua than have to pay Kefal with a Shvua. The perfect example of that is a Shoel. A Shoel Bosai who has complete Hanar, as he enjoys full use of the object, that's called kol hana'a shalo, and yet he's only obligated to go ahead and pay karen. Second wide line, tzadik dalet amud beis. V'ashoel kol hana'a shalo. We'll say, is that true that a shoel has full enjoyment of the animal with no responsibility? V'ha, in other words, we'll say kol hana'a shalo means he has absolute benefit and almost no responsibility vis-a-vis the animal. I don't mean liability, I mean responsibility. V'ha baya mizoni. Right? What do you mean he has no responsibility? A shoel is obligated to what? To go out and feed the animal. The kaima ba'agam. We'll say you can set up a case where a person borrows an animal and he lives near a marsh. So what happens? One of the advantages of living near a marsh is what? There's a ready food supply. So I don't have to worry about the mizonos of the animal. I v'haba ina netira. But one second, but you still have to guard the animal. So which benatar masa, where he lives in a gated community, right? So again, I'll say if you live in a gated community, literally natar masa means there are city watchmen. So because of that, at the end of the day, the shmira is already there. V'bay seima lo tema kol hanah shalo. You're right, you don't have to say by a shoel that he has full benefit, he has all hana, rather ela ima, rov hana shelo, we'll say he has the majority of benefit, v'iba yisema, v'she'ilas kalya, kalim, excuse me. On the other hand, we'll say, you can say they were talking about what? When does a shoel have kol hana, when does he have full use and full hana? When he borrows the utensil, so we'll say with the utensil, there is no feeding it, right? And shmira, watching it, is generally easy. No sischar vasoch and nishpan al shor vala shuya vala mesa umishalman esagneva vaveit. So what was the next part of the Mishnah? The Mishnah said a no sischar a shomer sachar and a renter. So we'll say if the object broke or was captured or died, so they take a shvua and they're freed from responsibility, because the assumption is that these are cases of own sin. However, if the object was stolen or lost, so they have to pay. Bishlam gneva dichsev im ganov im. So I understand when it comes to gneva, Rabbi will say the pasuk says im ganov yiganev miimo yishanin abalov. So the pasuk explicitly says that by a shomer sachar, that if the object is stolen, you have to pay. Ela aveda minolin. Rabbi will say, how do we know that if the object is lost, that the shomer chinam has to pay it to the owner? To which the pasuk says disanya. Im ganov yiganev, only ela gneva. I only know if the object is stolen that the shomer chinam has to pay for it. Aveda minayin. How do we know that even if it's lost, he has to pay? Talmud lomar im ganov yiganev mikomakum. So both say the Gemara seems to dash in the double lashon. The double lashon of im ganov yiganev tells me two things. Number one, gneva, and the extra lashon tells me aveda. That if the object is lost, the shomer sachar is going to have to pay for it. So both say. So here's the interesting part. What do you do with that double lashon of ganov yiganev? So if the first opinion is going to say it's for a drasha, it teaches me that what? That a shomer sachar is going to be, one ganov tells me that a shomer sachar is going to be chayiv for gneva. The second yiganev teaches me what? Aveda, lost object. That's fine if you say that lo dibra Torah kolosho b'nei adam, that the Torah did not employ the common vernacular, actually the vernacular of the common man. Elam am de amr aminan dibra Torah kolosho b'nei adam ha'ikalanima. Rabbi say, if you hold dibra Torah kolosho b'nei adam, if you hold dibra Torah kolosho b'nei adam, that means the Torah uses the vernacular, which means, why does the Torah say ganov yiganev? Why? Because that's how people spoke. Meaning it would be common for people to repeat a word in conversation. That's how the Torah speaks as well. If that's the case, then where does that opinion learn out that a shomer sachar will be chayiv in aveda? To which the Gemara says, "Amarava kavachomer." We'll make it a kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. Umar gneva shekrova liones mishalim. So we'll say, if gneva, an object being stolen, which is closer to an extenuating circumstance than ones, yet the shomer sachar is still going to be chayiv. Aveda shekrova lepshia lokoshikin. Then I will say, aveda ultimately what? Aveda, losing an object which is closer to pshia, closer to negligence than it is to ones, certainly one should be chayiv. The idach, about another opinion, will say milsa da asya bekavachomer tarch vekasev lekra, that even though you can learn this out from a kavachomer, Rabbi Osai, nevertheless the Torah still goes out of its way to go ahead and write it. So we'll say, so bottom line, what we've established is the following, that a shomer sachar will be chayiv for geneva and aveda. So if the object is stolen or lost, shomer sachar has to pay. Where do we learn it out from? Either from the double lashon of ganov yiganev, one ganov means geneva, second yiganev means aveda, or a kal vachomer. If you're going to be chayiv for geneva, which is karov laones, you'll certainly be chayiv for pshia, which is karov to, excuse me, if you're going to be chayiv, yes, if you're going to be chayiv for gneva, which is karav la'onis, you'll certainly be chayiv for aveda, which is karav la'pshia. To which the Gemara says, what's the next case? Va'ashol mishalim esakol. So remember again, the next case in the Gemara says, the shoel has to pay for everything, right? The shoel has complete liability. So bishlama, shreshlama shavura, umesa dechsev, v'chi yishal ishamim reyo v'nishpar omes. So I understand if the object is broken or it dies, let's say the shoel borrows an animal, and the animal breaks a limb or it dies, I understand the shul has to pay for that, because that's explicit in the pasuk. Ela shavuya b'shul minalon. I'll say, but if the animal is taken captive, how do I know that a shul is chayiv for that? The chitema nelef mishvura. Maybe you'll say you should learn it out from shvura. The fact that if the animal breaks, you have to pay for it. So to shvuya, to which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, nelef mishvura umesa. So I'll say, here's the difference. Shvura and mesa, although they are extenuating circumstances, they're things that are foreseeable. Animals die and limbs break. So because of that, maybe that's the type of onis for which a shoel is chayiv for. Tomar b'shvuya, shekin onsa delo salak adaitu. When it comes to what I say to shvuya, animal being taken captive, that's not such a common occurrence. That's not such a common occurrence that a person would have das for. Ella, rather, so how do I learn out that a shoel is going to be chayiv for shvuya? Ella ne'emra shvura umesa b'shoel, v'ne'emra shvura umesa b'shomer sachar. Rather, Rabbi says it says shvura umesa, the animal is broken or dies by a shoel, and it says shvura umesa b'shomer sachar. Ma lahalon shvuya imo. Both say just like by a shomer sachar, ultimately again shvuya is included. Afkan shvuya imo. So too over here by shoel, shvuya is included as well. But says the Gemara, how can you make that kal v'chomer? Ikal mifrach. Malu shomer sachar shekin liftar. We'll say, remember again, by shomer sachar, shvuya is included in the cases of onsin that a shomer sachar will be putter on. Tomer b'shoel shekin lechiyuv. We'll say, in shol, you're trying to include shvuya as what? As a case of liability. Ella k'rabbi nasan. Rather, you have to say, it's like Rabbi Nasan. What does Rabbi Nasan say? We'll say, this time, this will stop. The sign of Rabbi Nasan, Omer, o l'rabos shvuya. So we'll say, Rabbi Nasan says, when the pasuk says v'nishbar o mace, v'nishbar o mace, Rabbi Nasan says the o comes to include a case of shvuya, where the animal is taken captive. That will be a case ultimately again with the shoal will be chayiv for as well. Hi omi barley lechalik. But 1 second, we need that o. We need that o to distinguish between shvura and mesa. Why? The sakadai tchamina ad mitbura umesa. I would have thought, Rabosai, that really the Torah says the following. When are you chayiv for shvura umesa? That's only if first the animal... When am I chayiv if the animal breaks, so to speak? That's only if the animal breaks and then dies. But if the animal just breaks, perhaps the shoal will not be chayiv. Therefore, again, kamashmullah, no, the O tells you that what? Shvura umesa. That Rabosai, whether the animal breaks, meaning suffers a breakage, or dies... Even if the animal breaks but does not die, he's still going to be chayiv in that case as well. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with, we did a lot today, Baruch Hashem. We'll pick up with Hanicha L'Rabbi Yonasan. So bottom line, what we've proven so far is we've proven the halachas of Shomer Chinam. We've proven the halachas ultimately by Shomer Sachar. And now we're in the midst of proving the liability of Shoel. And Mirat Hashem to be continued tomorrow. Shkoyach.